Well, I'm mighty glad you sang that. Thank you. A long time ago, when he was a young preacher, Brother Henry Mahan was preaching down south, staying with a family. The father had been dead for some time, and the young lady in the household spoke so lovingly and admirably and constantly of her daddy throughout Brother Mahan's stay in that household. And he finally asked her one night, sitting at the dinner table, "I want you to tell me about your daddy. Why do you so admire him and so love him? He'd been gone for so long." She said, "Well, when I was just a little girl, my daddy had a severe heart condition. And he was told and knew that any excessive strain of any kind would kill him. And we were at the beach one day, and I got out too far from the shore and couldn't get back. Began to sink. And my daddy saw what was going on and ran fast as he could, dove into the sea and swam out and brought me to shore. And he collapsed and died. And that's why I love him so. Because my daddy died for me. Now let me tell you why Christ is precious to me. Why I want so to love him and honor him." Turn with me again to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. You see, he loved me and gave himself for me. He died for me. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, lest I lose your attention along the way, let's look at these words real close for just a minute. He, God the Father, the Creator of the universe, the Holy, Holy, Holy God, hath in holy, strict justice, because there's no other way he could save our souls, for the glory of his name, he hath made. By a marvelous transfer of filth and iniquity and transgression and sin and guilt from the sinner to the sinner's surety, from the objects of his love to the darling of his heart, by divine imputation, he hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, his own dear son, his beloved, his equal, the man of his right hand, him in whom he is well pleased, him in whom his soul delighteth, to be sin. to be sin. Not a sin offering, sin. Not just a sin sacrifice, sin. Not just a ransom for sin, sin. For us. Men and women who are nothing but sin. Immortal souls who deserve His wrath. Ungodly wretches who live in rebellion against Him. Us who look to Him and live. Us who are called by His grace. Us whom He loved with an everlasting love. That we might be made. Not that we might perhaps be made, but that He might in justice make us. That He might be both a just God and a Savior. That He might, without compromising His character, make us the righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of God's immutable character. That's not what it's talking about. We will never be made God. He's talking about the righteousness that God requires, the righteousness that God demands, the righteousness without which no man shall see the Lord, the righteousness without which you cannot enter into glory, the righteousness which the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His obedience to the law of God, being made under the law, by His perfect life as a man, established, worked out, and brought in. Now, Christ was made to be sin for us, and we are made the righteousness of God in Him. The doctrine stated in those words is substitution. Substitution. It is the great truth of Holy Scripture. It must be plainly declared. Must be constantly declared. I've set my foot down here, and I never intend to be moved from it. Some of you may recall, probably not, but you might. Back in January 1980, Brother Lindsey Campbell called me and asked me if I'd come by here and preach to you. I was on my way to Florida to preach in a meeting down there, and I did. And the message I preached was from this text of Scripture. The subject was substitution. This is what I believe. This is our doctrine. Christ crucified will be the constant theme of this pulpit so long as I have anything to do with this pulpit. The gospel of Christ will not be pushed aside in this place of worship like some old piece of furniture. Where we began, we will remain. The glorious gospel of substitution, the finished work of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, is the glory, the strength, the joy, the very life of God's church. Now let me answer some questions. Nothing profound about this, and yet it's the most profound mystery in the universe. Who was it that made Him to be sin? Our text describes our great surety upon one point only. He was that one who knew no sin. Who was it that was made to be sin? It was the Lord Jesus Christ our substitute, the spotless, innocent, holy, righteous, pure Lamb of God. The Son of God took upon Himself human flesh. He became one of us. He dwelt among men and was a man and is a man today. But He was a man like no other man. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He had no taint of corruption in His nature because He had no earthly father. He had no original sin. He had no actual sin. He never thought. He never thought an evil thing. He never had an evil passion. His heart was never sinfully cold and never sinfully hot. He was equal to God's holy law in all things, perfect, without sin. And it is absolutely necessary that he who dies as the sinner's substitute be one who is altogether holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He must be without sin, for if he has any guilt of his own, if he has any sin of his own, he could not atone for sin. Our Lord Jesus is just the substitute we need. He is the embodiment of righteousness, purity, virtue, and holiness. As a man, he was made under the law, but he owed nothing to the law. Yet, he perfectly fulfilled the law. And as a God-man, he is able to stand in the room of others and fully satisfy the law and justice of God. This Holy One, the Son of God, this Holy One, Jesus of Nazareth, this man who knew no sin, voluntarily was made to be sin for us. Oh, what love is this! He was made sin, and yet he took our sins upon himself. As willingly as the thirsty man takes a drink of cold water. He set his heart to do it from eternity. And he never flinched. He never turned back. Who was it that made him sin? He. God, his Father. Then thou spakest in a vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Turn to that very familiar passage in Isaiah 53, where the prophet describes this transfer of sin from the sinner to the sinner's surety. It was God the Father who laid sin upon his well-beloved Son and charged him with guilt. Isaiah 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. It was according to his will and pleasure. But more than that, it satisfied the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. It wasn't the mocking crowd or the soldiers' scourging whip or the accusations of men. It wasn't the nails or the crown of thorns or the nakedness or the spit or the excrement of men cast upon him. It wasn't the taunting jeers of the Jews and of the Romans that made him ashamed and put him to grief. But it was his Father who made him to be sin and put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, the Father made his Son an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God the Father gave up the Son of his love to die in the place of worthless, guilty, doomed, damned sinners, you and me. Our Lord said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Herein is love. Herein is love. These days everybody talks about their love for God. If you ever find out something about love, you quit talking about your love for God, I promise you. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. But when did he do it? When is it that God made his Son to be sin for us? He did it in his eternal decree. Are you still in Isaiah? The prophet said in verse 6, we read it, he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If you go to the bank to borrow money, And you sign the papers, and you walk out, and the money is transferred to your name. The debt has become yours. It has become yours. If you necessarily have to have a co-signer, a guarantor, a surety, the debt may become his if you default on the loan. But that's not the sense of surety that is used in times of old or used in the scriptures. A surety in those days, at the time he stood good for the one he represented, was the one who was looked to for satisfaction. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said in old eternity, lo, I come to do thy will, O my God. When the Lord Jesus Christ said in covenant mercy before the world began, I will bear their sins upon the tree. I will redeem them. I will satisfy justice for them. The Father struck hands with the Son and laid our sins on the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that back yonder, before ever the sun was made to shine, Bobby Estes, God Almighty ceased to look to you for anything. He trusted his Son with his glory and with the objects of his love, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And then the Father laid our sins on his Son at Calvary. Turn to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Somebody said, we can't have it both ways. I can too. God does. First Peter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. When the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cursed tree, the Father heaped upon him our sins. And he was stricken of God and smitten of God. And by his stripes, when he was slain, we were healed. And he does it in conversion too. Until God Almighty saves a sinner by his grace, he leaves your sin consciously on you. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Our sins were laid on Christ from eternity. Our sins were laid on him at Calvary. They were put away when God decreed it, put away when Christ accomplished it. So that we were always just before God, justified before him in the Lamb slain from eternity. But consciously, in our minds and in our hearts, the wrath of God abode on us. Now this is not a matter of just theological accuracy. I'm telling you what I've experienced, and you have too, you who know God. I walked in this world a rebel to God. And his wrath lay heavy on my soul and crushed me down to hell in utter despair. And I was terrified. I've never been terrified of anything in my life except that. I was terrified. I couldn't sleep at night, and I couldn't live in the day. I was terrified. The only thing on this earth kept me from committing suicide when I was a teenager, that I was scared to death of God, because the weight of sin lay heavy on my soul. Until one day, I came to sit in the house of God, sitting right where Rex Bartlett is sitting now. Crowd of people, big crowd of people. And a man preached the gospel of God's grace. And God the Holy Spirit caused me to see in my soul my sin laid on him. And I've never been terrified since. The wrath of God was satisfied in him. My sins were put away by him. And now the Spirit of God sprinkles my conscience with his precious blood, and I stand before God clean. And our Savior took our sin to be his very own. He really did. He really did. I know and rejoice in the fact of imputation. I understand that when the Scripture speaks of Christ being made to be sin, the words used are what's called forensic terms, that is, legal terms. They're terms used in a court of law. But this word, made, does not merely mean that the Lord Jesus became responsible for sin. It means that, but it means something indescribably more than that. Let me try one more time to tell you. Our Lord Jesus, when he knelt in the garden, as he anticipated being made sin, cried to his Father three times, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. His heart broke within him. A debt won't do that. A debt, I don't care what the debt is, won't do that. Won't do it. But this holy soul, who knew no sin, is himself the only man who ever walked on this earth who knew what sin is. You and I don't really have a clue. He's the only man who knew the horrible, obnoxious, terrible vileness of sin before a holy God, because this man is God. When he was made to be sin for us, our sin was not pasted on him. He was made sin. Turn to Proverbs 17:15 for a moment. Proverbs 17:15. God Almighty could not in his justice save us without satisfaction. And God Almighty could not in his justice punish his Son except his Son be made sin. God will not compromise his character, not for anything. Proverbs 17:15. This is what God says. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just. He that says concerning the wicked man, he's justified. He that will not punish the wicked man, he that will compromise law and compromise justice to set the wicked free, and he who punishes, who condemns, who puts to death a just man, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. This is how our Savior prayed. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. Mine iniquities, so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth thee. Look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Verse 3. Our Savior is speaking. You'll see it clearly. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. You don't have any question that the one who's been speaking is our Savior, do you? He's the one who's hated without a cause. He's the man who had many enemies who hated him wrongfully. He's the one who restored that which he took not away. He's still speaking, verse 5. O God, thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from thee. Verse 7, Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger to my brethren, an alien to my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee have fallen upon me. I turn to Isaiah 50. I want you to see our Savior's own words here. He took our sins and was made to be sin for us voluntarily. Isaiah 50 verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. Remember the story of the bondservant, the law of the bondservant? Here he is. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters. Do you remember him in the garden when they came to arrest him? He takes the initiative. He said to the soldiers, "Who are you looking for? Whom seek ye?" And they said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." And the master responded, "I am." And they fell away backward, fell down like dead men. And they rose up again. He said, "Now who was it you were looking for? Whom seek ye?" "Well, we're seeking Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I told you, I'm he. If you seek me, let these go their way. You can have me. I'm willing to be taken and beaten." He says to the law of God, to the justice of God, "All right, here I am. Take me. But when you take me, you got to let my sheep go. You can't have me in them. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair." He didn't die as a helpless victim of circumstances. He died because he loved us. "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed." God Almighty then delivered his Son into the hands of divine justice. He was made to suffer in the fullest possible extent, the infinite extremity of God's holy wrath, to the full satisfaction of God's holy justice. And he paid our debt. And when he had finished suffering all the wrath of God, he cried, "It is finished." The hymn writer said, with one tremendous draft of love, he drank damnation dry. It's done. God made his Son to be sin for us. That was the soul of his suffering. He suffered and died under the justice and wrath of God. As Martin Luther put it, and I fully agree with him, as the greatest sinner who ever lived, the long hand of God's holy justice reaches through the ages of time and gathers up in one horrid, ignominious load all the sins of all his people and made his Son to be sin. And when he was made to be sin for us, the sun refused to shine. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God's darling Son, cries out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I can tell you why. Because he is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He will not countenance sin. He will not look upon sin. Oh, hear the piercing cry. What can its meaning be? My God, oh, why hast thou in wrath forsaken me? It was because our sins on him by God were laid. He who himself had never sinned, for sinners sin was made. And when he was made to be sin, God Almighty cries, "Awake, O sword, against one that is my fellow. Smite and slay the shepherd." And the sword of justice sunk into his holy heart. And he swallowed the sword. So that now God declares, they for whom he was slain shall never die, because fury is not in me. That's substitution. Christ was made to be sin. And now we are made the righteousness of God in him. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He was made sin. We're made righteousness. He was made to die. We're made to live. He was made to be what he was not. And we are made to be what we otherwise could never have been. What does all that mean? Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Now look here. Look here. Look up here. Oh, you upon whom the weight of sin is so heavy, hear me. You, unto whom Christ has been made redemption, hear me. I stand before God Almighty, a new creature. Everything about that man, born in Bladen County, North Carolina, 54 years ago, who lived in hellish rebellion to God, running the streets of Southside Winston-Salem all his life. Everything about that man who still walks in this body of flesh, that old man, is gold forever. God Almighty has blotted out my transgressions. Blotted them out. What's that mean? That means he blotted them out. Christ took them away. What's that mean? It means he took them away. Therefore, the Lord God says, in that day I will search and look for the sins of Jacob and for the iniquity of Israel, and they shall not be found. Won't be found. For I know whom I reserve. He has put away my sin and will never charge me with sin. And I sing from the depths of my soul, oh, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And behold, all things are become new. Here I stand before God, holy God, righteous God, God to whom every man shall give answer, God who must punish sin. Without one crime, not one offense, but I stand before him as one who has perfectly, completely, from the day that I was conceived in my mother's womb to the day that I leave this world and ascend to glory, I stand before him as one who has perfectly fulfilled all the law and will of God. And I really have. I really have. I have. Not personally. Oh, no. But in a substitute who's done it all for me. Roland Hill told one time of a dream he had. We don't put my stock in dreams, but I like this one. He said, I dreamed the end of time had come and the judgment seat was set and all the nations were gathered before the bar of God. And I heard men's names called one after the other, and out of that great throng they were called to stand before God and were sentenced. And as I watched, I heard the name Roland Hill, and I stood in dead silence, paralyzed with fear. And I heard the name ring again, like thunder across the sea of time, Roland Hill! And I knew that I was found out. And as I was about to stand, one stood before the bar of God and said, Roland Hill is here. What is demanded? Satisfaction for all your sin. And he stretched forth his hands and said, I, Roland Hill, have satisfied the law of God. What else is demanded? Perfect righteousness. And he stands before the bar of God and says, behold me, Roland Hill. I have obeyed God. And the one who stood before the bar of God was himself God the Son, my substitute. Amen.